and welcome to what is sure to be a high-energy DestoProz.com anime and manga podcast.
Yay!
As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Things from Another World. TFAW.com has over 20,000 pop culture items with comics, toys, statues, graphic novels, and some manga. I just found this out. So yeah, they have everything you need to make awesome nerd collection and have a bunch of shelf porn up. Not actual porn, just shelf porn. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, so click the link at the bottom page or any of the banners on the site and go check out TFAW.com. Things from Another World. They are awesome things. From awesomer worlds. Well, our things are not from another world, or are particularly awesome. We do have our own shit. So head over to DestoProz.com/store and check out some of our stuff, including some new shirts designed by our very own Bovion.
Hell yes.
Yeah. So we are in our new store now. We have a wider selection of products, and hopefully you guys will be able to find more stuff in case you couldn't find something you were looking for in our other store. And as always, we're still accepting shirt design, art, and stuff. So if you have something you would like, please don't hesitate to send it to Bovion at DestoProz.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll put it on a bunch of different products and pay you based on how well those products sell. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you. But unfortunately, we won't be able to pay you. We can credit you, but we can't pay you. If you have art, we'll be able to pay you. So, I'm your host, Dead Man. Show me today we have Bovion.
Hello.
And Punchatron.
No, hi.
Yeah, as you can tell, we're pumped.
I'm not sure if I got my second wind or if I'm just trying really hard to overcompensate for the fact that I'm, you know.
Yeah. You'll be able to tell. You'll be able to see our other hype levels during the anime club, which. Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, maybe change the format of that again, or scrapping it entirely. We're not sure yet. We're going to give it a couple more episodes. See what happens.
Let us know what you want.
Yeah. We're probably going to tell us to kill ourselves or something.
Like people tell us things.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, anime manga. Bobby Wan, what have you been watching or reading?
Okay, so you picked me first today. Today I have one thing, but it's going to be fun to talk about.
Okay, so what is your one thing?
My one thing is Holy Night.
Sounds familiar.
And the best way to describe it is Reverse Twilight.
Oh, okay.
But
I think
not as bad.
I thought I recognized it, and I think I do know it now.
So it's like completely reverse Twilight, where like the genders are reversed and the quality is reversed?
The quality's, I'm not going to say entirely reversed, but it is far better than Twilight.
It's come back
like,
a bit.
If it was completely inversed, it would be like the most amazing thing I've seen recently. And it's not the Avengers, so.
Cabin in the Woods is bad.
Anyway, so yeah, I guess I'll jump right into the basic story. So, it's an OVA series, so there's two OVAs, of which I've actually taken the time to watch one, but that's okay because it's the actual introduction one, so I tell you what's going on there, you'll know what's going on in the series, and you'll be good, and even when I do watch the second OVA, I'm not going to talk about it again because it's just going to be like, oh, it wraps up the story, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. So here's the basic setup. I've actually got names written down of, like, two of the characters. So, we start off focusing on Lilith. Well, she is a child. And she's living in a town that, at this point, we don't know is entirely vampires, but it's entirely vampires. And they're all vampires of a single clan. And then vampire hunters come around and wipe out everyone but her.
Oh, joy! That's always nice.
This person who gets literally no character introduction in the first OVA, except that at one point she poses as a urologist and shoves rectal thermometers up a guy's ass, who is apparently enjoying this. Yeah, this is... We only see, like, short little two-second clips of her, so we have no idea who this person is or what the fuck they're doing. In fact, the whole first little bit until we get to the high school is hella confusing. just because it okay, jumps around all the fucking time. So she tells Lilith that there's this place where she'll find a sword that's engraved with a prophecy that pertains to her. So she finds out that from the prophecy. Now this is a bit spoilerific for the first episode. But you've been warned. She finds out from the prophecy that she must conceive the child from a man of a specific bloodline. I didn't take the time to memorize whose bloodline it was. And then kill the man and the child, bathe in their blood, and if she does that, her clan will be restored.
Of course it will, because, you know, every single prophecy that will have you restore something has to have you kill your loved ones.
Well, it doesn't say you have to love the man, and this is where we get into the... It's kind of like a good reverse Twilight. So we jump forward, and we meet our protagonist, Shinta, and he has this childhood friend who's basically there to be a rival in love.
Of course. Is he Sundere?
Nope. Not really.
She's just kind of there.
No. Yeah, she's just kind of there. She's not a very strong character. She keeps, like, getting jealous and then working out, and then getting jealous and working out.
Okay.
So anyways, Shinta goes to school, and he sees that there's a transfer student named Lilith, who comes up to him and basically very flirtily says, our destinies are entwined, so we'll be seeing lots of each other. And then later, she invites him to meet with her alone, because she has to talk to him. At which point she says, I want you to have sex with me, right now. And starts undressing.
Okay, that was going to be my question. Why didn't she just come up and say, "Yo, I want your baby, put it in me"?
So Shinta is the guy from this bloodline, in case you haven't guessed.
Really? I figured she was just a whore.
And, like any high schooler would respond when an attractive girl says, I want you to have sex with me right now, and starts undressing, he says no.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Fuck him.
And he runs away, but running away doesn't stop the childhood friend from showing up right while she's getting dressed and thinking that something happened and getting jealous and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So
I didn't do anything, I swear, she's just a whore.
So then she figures out that she actually has to try and woo him, so she's basically faking feelings in order to woo him, in order to have sex with him, in order to have his baby and kill them. But there are some points where she kinda has hints of maybe developing true feelings. And
well, of course, don't you know? Anything can be defeated by the power of love.
As a love story set up better than Twilight, as a reasoning for a vampire to fuck a human, set up way better than Twilight. And just the general setup, like, when she demands sex from him, it's one of the most hilarious things I've seen. It just had me, like, laughing my ass off. So, yeah, other than that, there's a few other story elements I'm going to quickly get into. They each have a protector animal that is a were-whatever animal, or I guess sort of animagus-style thing. They can change between human and their animal. So her protector animal thing is like a werewolf, as in it can turn into a wolf, but it kind of chooses to look like a dog.
Okay.
And she's aware that it's actually a human. And when it turns into a human, he's fucking creepy. In fact, there's one point where the childhood friend decides to go to Shinta's house and steal him away so that Lilith can't take him because she's been, like, you know, making out with him and shit. And the werewolf, in order to stop her so that Lilith can fuck him and have his baby, turns into his human self and kisses the childhood friend, saying, there, I stole your first kiss. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, because that's just so evil.
Yeah, and apparently that works, and she runs away.
What?
Yeah, she's so upset about losing her first kiss to this weird purple-haired guy that she runs away.
I'd be more worried about the fact that some weird purple haired guy just jumped out of nowhere and kisses me.
Like, does she question who is this guy and why is he in Shinta's house?
Yeah. Do they ever think, who are you? I'm calling the police.
And when he leans in to kiss her, she doesn't knee him in the balls.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Get away. Hurt him or something. Jesus Christ.
Anyways, his protective animal is a cat.
So the protector animal has a protector animal?
No. Sorry, when I said his, I meant Shinta's. His protector animal is a cat, and it can also turn into a human, but he doesn't know she can turn into a human.
Okay. Oh, and it's a girl, too.
Yeah, and I have to say, the character design for her as a human is one of the more adorable things I've ever seen. I don't exactly know how to describe it. I will try to find images for you, but that doesn't help the people on the podcast. But it's sort of like, she's younger and smaller, so like, I say adorable for a reason. It's cute. It has no other appeals. It's sort of got this baggy hoodie thing going on that's all cat themed and stripey and...
That does sound cute. Like, from what I've seen of, like, baggy cat hoodies, they are very adorable.
I wish I could remember the name of the cat character. Oh, look, here's a picture here. Okay, it's not quite a hoodie. It's a hat and, like, a baggy sweater thing. I think she might have more than one outfit, though. No, that's the same outfit. I found a picture.
Okay,
so it's got, like, this cat hat that's got, like, pink fluff and then... tailing off things, and then white hair and a stripy baggy sweater. And
well, she's a cat. I bet she wishes she were a bird.
Anyways, so you guys can see, and I'll probably post that in the comments too. Oh, I think I said that to Just Dead Man.
Well, thank you. That's
better. I'll make sure to post that in the comments for the post, too. If you're listening on iTunes, go to the site, goddammit!
Yeah, we need more of you. We need more visitors. And buy some stuff. That doesn't have to be from us. Buy from our sponsors. They'll pay us, so, maybe.
I'm going to quickly run down where the series falls short. Okay. I've just noticed I've scrolled into some manga images from... some images from the manga that are very interesting. Let's just say they have some different views on the censorship. The first OVA has, it's censored. There's no actual nudity, which I think is odd for the theme of it. Once again, I'm not someone who watches something thinking, come on, show me some tits. It's just, it bugs me when something is of a certain theme and decides to censor.
Okay.
It's just always... it seems wrong to me. It just doesn't seem fitting.
Okay.
The other thing is that with the cat character whose name I cannot remember... I remember that it almost sounds like Camelot, but it's not. There's this really weird scene where there's this photographer taking pictures of her. Because she's cute, but, like, there's panty shots, and it bugs me, because, like...
Is he a fat guy with a headband?
Sorry?
Is the photographer a fat guy with a headband and glasses?
I'm not sure. I don't honestly remember the photographer.
It seems like he would be the kind of guy taking pictures of a young girl's panties.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't like that scene in general. It just weirded me out, and I don't like them showing panty shots of that character, because, like, I'd rather that character be innocent and not sexualized at all. Because, like,
the thing, her innocence is sexualized. One of the things with lollies.
I know, and that's the thing. Sometimes I'm in this situation. I appreciate the design of the character. And so I say, oh yeah, this is a really adorable character.
Yeah.
I have no sexual thoughts towards that whatsoever. So I don't like the idea of that being sexualized, because then I just get the feeling that I'm going to be lumped together with perverts. By the way, I actually forgot to mention something to do with perverts. So there are vampire hunters at the school, too.
Okay.
The leader of which is a teacher. In case you couldn't hear the air quotes there, there were air quotes. I'm guessing teacher is just his cover. But he Brad Swales a lot. Now, I'm not sure if everyone will know what I mean when I say Brad Swale, but Brad Swale is an English voice actor who, when he goes to conventions, very much likes to surround himself by young girls who swoon over him all the time. That's what that teacher does. So that's what I mean when I say he Brad Swales.
Okay.
By the way, sorry, Brad Swale. I like the potato chip line, and you did the laugh all right. Other parts of the performance fell flat, but, like, you're kind of creepy. You creep me out. You creep me out.
Okay, then.
But yeah, that's Holy Night. If you like good laughing at the idea of a girl just being extremely forward with sex and kind of like something that is almost like throwing a wrench into the gears of the idea of something like Twilight. I'll be honest with you, I found this anime at random. I've come up with a system for randomizing anime so that I have at least one new thing to talk about each time.
Okay.
It's alright. It's alright. It's only going to take about 40 minutes of your life to watch the whole thing, so have at.
Okay, then. So, moving on to me. Because I only have one thing to talk about as well. So, it's a new manga out there called No Game, No Life. Yeah, so This is actually a pretty cool manga. Which has some kind of loli tones to it, maybe. And also some possible incest thing going on.
Well, that's kind of par for the course with these kinds of things.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's a bit creepy. Like the lolly of it. You know, incest is par for the course. But, and you know, I'm fine with that. But lolly is still kind of creepy. So anyway, this series is about two siblings, Sora and Shiro. Yes, Sora and Shiro. They are gamers. And they're apparently the best in the world. Like, when we first see them, like, the first time we actually see them is, like, a few pages into the manga, after we have some, like, intro text, after we have some, like, intro scene in an MMORPG. Like, playing some WoW derivative. Like, probably something like Terra. Excuse me. And it's a guild hanging out and saying, oh, hey, we're the greatest guild in the fucking world. This one, like, have you heard of this legend of this one guy who's able to take down guilds, like, by himself? They call him Mr. Blank. And then he shows up, destroys them, and then it turns out it's actually two people. It is Sora and Shiro, brother and sister, and we see them gaming. And Shiro is doing very provocative poses and showing off her ass, which is highlighted in weird ways. And it's kind of creepy. Really creepy, actually. It's just, yeah, she's cute, but I have a feeling that she was drawn in such a way that she would be considered a different kind of cute than what I'm meaning here. It's funny, these two are gamers. So Shiro, the sister, is an analytical one. She is all about the stats. Like, one thing that, like, a bit, like, maybe part of her character is there was, like, a program designed to, like, beat the world's greatest chess players at chess and she beat it 20 times out of 20. Because, yeah. And then we have Sora, who's better at dealing with human players. He's better at, like, calling bluffs and anticipating stuff and, like, rolling the dice. He's better at, you know, like, the random dice rolls in RPGs. like playing against chess people, like playing against chess and card games, calling people's bluffs. And so the two of them put together apparently unstoppable at games. It's even more impressive when you see that they're able to use their feet to click mice, like they're able to use their feet to manipulate mice in ways that let them play. So they'd be able to play. Oh. Yes, they'd be able to do like an entire like raid in World of Warcraft with their feet, and do it well. So anyway, these two, they get an email one day, and it has a game of chess in there. They play it, they win, obviously, and they get a message saying, "Hey, what do you think of life?" And they get to a really creepy image of them saying, "It's a shitty game with really poorly designed mechanics."
And so the mechanics behind life are kind of broken.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, not everyone starts at the same level, and...
Yeah. Yeah, so the email says, oh good, I think I got it too. Then they get sucked into the TV. And then God shows up.
Hey God, how's it going?
Well, actually, God is like a young girl in like one of those really big hat things, like a vest or anything with a star tattoo on her face or something. And then they're like, where are you? Who the fuck are you? It's like, oh, well, I'm God, I guess. Welcome to my world, Disboard. Now game. Yeah, that's with the two of them just standing on a cliff looking over, like, some fantastical board game-inspired kingdom. And like, well, okay. And so that was the first chapter. There's only one chapter out of this manga right now. And the first chapter, it was interesting. Like, the concept is really cool. Like, I think the two of them, like, in terms of their, like, in terms of their skill set, they're fairly well balanced out, and I have a feeling that we could get some pretty good gaming from them. But the weird lolly syscon thing that's happening with the little sister is skeeving me out. And I know it's... I have a feeling this. I'm actually just wondering if, like, over the course of the series, it'll like ease out a bit, and I'm hoping it will. But I have a feeling the lolly aspect won't ease out of it a bit. Ease out of it at all, because even God is kind of lolly. So I'm just wondering if. Yes, I'm just wondering if it's just going to be like a average sized dude in a world full of lollies. I really hope it isn't, because then I'd have to stop reading. And I don't want to. It had an interesting setup. It was pretty well written. The art, while, you know, not a big fan of a lot of the shots that happen with Shiro, it is well done. You know, like, they do manage to do some shots that are, you know, not lolly at all, but still pretty cute with her, and they've also done some pretty good shots of making them look really fucked up. Like, I'm not talking like they're, like, really weird faces or anything. I'm talking about, like, they actually look like they were, like, sociopaths who just hate life in all its forms. Yeah. So, yeah, so if you haven't got a chance to check it out, No Game, No Life. It's up now online, scanlated. And it's a pretty decent first chapter. A bit skeevy, but otherwise pretty good. So, Budge, what have you been reading and watching?
Oh, great. Seems we're going to have not 100%, never mind. I was going to make a comment about it all being manga. But actually, wait, Holy Night was originally a manga. So, yes. It's true. It's all manga today.
Woo! It's the manga podcast, motherfuckers. Woo!
But yeah, let's start with the one that's the easiest to say. World Trigger. So, basically, it's one of the standard interdimensional aliens show up in Japan.
Okay.
And there's an organization set up to stop them.
Yeah, and they do it in the most bizarre way, you know, like sending teenage girls to go fight them.
No, the two main characters are male.
Oh, okay.
You haven't even met a female protagonist kind of character yet.
I was making a freezing joke.
I'm aware. But no, they that's annoying.
I don't know. It just happened.
Space or something.
You just cut out there for a second.
Oh, did I? Border. Border is the name of the government organization.
Okay, Border. Does it stand for anything, or is it just, hey, let's call it Border, because fuck it?
They haven't said it stands for anything, but, you know, Border probably as in, you know, they're in the border between the dimensions and whatnot.
So they're border police.
Yeah.
Gotta keep them damn aliens out of our country stealing our jobs.
Exactly. But yeah, basically, originally when these things started showing up, they're eventually called neighbors. As from a neighboring dimension. Get it? Yeah. They kill you.
Yeah, they're being very neighborly when they try to murder everybody. I tell you, my neighbor used to do that to me every day before I killed him.
But yeah, basically what would happen before Border really took over was they would open up the portals pretty much anywhere. But Border got around to set up these massive bases in cities near the center of cities, and that seemed to localize the encroachment events
in the center of cities.
Yeah, to around the bases where, you know, they could control them better, because the bases are where all their personnel are and whatnot, and they use captured alien tech to, you know, create weapons to fight the neighbors and stuff.
Yeah, so question about the bases. Why do they decide to build them in the center of a heavily populated area with plenty of civilians around that can get hurt or killed in the process of fighting a neighbor, when they could have built them away from cities?
Mm.
Or, you know, on the outskirts, where there aren't that many people. Or, you know, in space or something. Just have the neighbors appear in space. Maybe they'll die in space. Who knows?
Maybe. But I'm just sort of skimming through the manga to see if I can find something that quickly. But
okay, so what do the neighbors actually do? Like, do they just show up and kill everything? How do they kill them?
Yeah, they're big monsters. They rampage through cities.
Okay, so it's a dimension of kaiju.
Yeah, I guess. There are a lot of sort of worm types that they've run into. They seem to be modeled after bugs.
Okay.
So you haven't really seen... You've seen one or two, and they seem to be giant, sharp-toothed caterpillar things. But...
Sounds kind of like Black Bullet.
Sort of. But basically what happens is there's this... one of the border agents is in high school in in a city. And... he's keeping a low profile because, well, they haven't really gone to explaining why he, you know, keeps his border association such a secret.
Have they gone into detail as to why this government agency is hiring from high school?
Well, he was just there when, you know. But
he was, you know, just there.
He was just there, you know?
Yeah, it's like, what do you require? It's like, so what are the requirements for this getting the job? Well, he just had to be there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, I don't, sir. Well, take a look at this high school student. He was just there. We need more of that initiative in this organization. God damn it! Why does every Japanese MGO have to have like high school students working in it? Seriously.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Yeah, but why? Teenagers are shit. Like, seriously, they are horrible people in every sense of the word. They're barely even people.
The appropriate reason is because they're terrible psychopaths. I mean, every MGO needs psychopaths. What better place to get them than Japanese high schools?
I don't know. temp agencies. They say, hey, we need a psychopath the next, like, 3 weeks. Probably have a dossier of them. Anyway, yeah, Pudge, continue.
Anyway, and this new transfer student shows up to the class.
Turns out she's actually a vampire. Ooh.
No, not really. He's technically speaking one of the neighbors.
Okay.
But he's human form, naturally, and, you know, otherwise it would arouse suspicion. And that seems to be his natural form. He's not a, they can't transform, from what I see. But he's sort of an emotionless guy who, you know, sort of standard emotionless character who doesn't quite understand how humans work.
Yeah.
And they interact with each other and stuff. And but he's ridiculously tough and everything. And he has this little alien companion that is sort of a symbiote, sort of a venom-style symbiote kind of thing that, you know, actually cooperates with him.
Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting. It really hasn't developed a whole lot yet. They've introduced the main character and this guy, this young kid, and the way they introduce him is there's a single frame of him dusting himself off, and the police are freaking out because he was just hit by a truck full on. And he's perfectly fine.
He just walks out, like, hey, what's up?
And pretty much the only thing he has to comment after it is he continues crossing the street. After he says, wow, Japan sure is dangerous.
You don't know the half of it, kid. Just a week in high school, at least 3 people will try to kill you. usually other students. It's like, you got better on me. You got better than me on the math test. Die.
But naturally, our intrepid main character meets up with him and, you know, figures out the situation and decides to hold off on bringing him to the headquarters just to, you know, because there doesn't seem to be a threat from him and he'd like to observe before subjecting this apparently young person to the testing that would inevitably occur and whatnot. So that's sort of where it's at right now. There have been a couple fights, which were all right, I guess. The main character is a bit of a Worf, but Worf is in the character from Star Trek who is Klingon and is supposed to be a really good fighter, but then immediately gets beaten up by the bad guy to show how powerful the bad guy is.
Yeah, the bad guy's really powerful. He can't even take it out of Klingon. Who will save them? This bald guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Robot.
Yeah. They're kind of like a robot. He sings. Plays violin. Anyway, this awkward laughter. Moving on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm certainly interested to see where the story goes and what happens. There have been some flashback characters to mentors and to this high school kid's mentor and whatnot from when he first had contact with Border.
Okay, but was the mentor like the quirky old man mentor or other?
Cool young dude.
Oh, cool young dude, okay.
Yeah.
See, it's one of those two, usually. Quirky old guy or cool young dude.
Don't forget, totally over-the-top woman.
Ah, yes. The one who's obviously overcompensating for something. Anyway.
Yeah, so, it's world trigger. You know, English words shouldn't be too hard to remember that. unlike the next two.
Oh, goody. let's see if we can figure out what you're saying with these.
Yeah, pretty much. World Trigger, it's good. Check it out. Hooray for that. Alright, so this one's not too bad. It's Masamune Kunno Revenge.
Okay.
Masamune Kunno Revenge, if you want to translate that to English. Basically, Makabe Masamune was really fat when he was younger.
I thought it was a great way to start out a synopsis. So this one kid was really fat.
He overindulged, let's say, in snacks and stuff when he was younger. So he was, you know, roly-poly, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And while escaping from some bullies, he stumbled to the gate of an estate where the younger living there sort of let him in and told the bullies off and whatnot, and yada yada yada. And this led to young roly-poly Makabe confessing to this young girl and pretty much her flat-out rejecting him, and with, I think the exact words were, there's no way I would go out with somebody like you, Piggy.
Don't call me Piggy, I'm pleasantly plump, damn it!
But yeah, so that inspired young Makabe to reinvent himself with, I should have pulled up his exercise schedule. But it's like 100 crunches, 100 push-ups, and then run for an hour every day.
Okay.
And it's been like 4 or 5 years since then.
Okay, he must have got good.
Yeah. It also says no eating after 9 a.m. Can't be healthy, to be honest. I may have read it wrong, but...
No eating after 9 a.m.? So you get all your calories in when you wake up to go to school and then never eat again.
Basically, he succeeds in completely reinventing himself, and he's young and fit, attractive, and hell-bent on revenge on this girl for rejecting him so harshly.
Okay.
And basically, the plot is that he will make her fall for him and then completely break her heart.
These are revenge plot.
So
but you know, but like with this plot of like these plots of I get this person to fall in love with me and then totally destroy them, they seem like very foolhardy endeavors, because there's always the possibility that you'll end up falling in love with the other person too.
You know, This plot was in Fable 2.
Well, it was, wasn't it? There's a mission where you get somebody to fall in love with you you're doing this mission for a ghost, but it's irrelevant. So, yeah, that's kind of how it is. He gets a new transfer student into the third year in high school, I think. So
fat kid gets hot for revenge.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Adventure, ho! Anyways.
Here's the... Oh, it just says no eating after 9, so that's probably 9 at night. It makes more sense.
Yeah, that would make a bit more sense.
Every morning and every evening, 100 sit-ups, lift dumbbells, 20 sets with the dumbbells, and run for 1 hour. No eating after 9. So twice a day he does that. For since he was like 12.
And how old is he now?
Yeah, 5 years, approximately.
5 years, okay. That is some commitment. I tried doing really simple workout exercises for like a week. I made it 2 days.
Yeah, there's some interesting, certainly some interesting characters. His, in particular, you've only seen her once, but his mother is one of the pointlessly, ridiculously tiny women. Like, she looks like a 12-year-old. She's 48.
Okay.
You've seen her once, I'm sure she'll factor in later. Overly emotional. Yeah, I gotta get it. Yeah, it's interesting. This is another one I can't wait to see where it goes, because there's certainly some good character development going on right now, because he really has no idea what he's doing. He's going from... No, he was what he was, and now he's this incredibly handsome, popular guy.
Yeah, like it's thinking about this. Plans really well thought it through, because I'm guessing he was socially awkward. He was really fat.
Mm-hmm.
So years of training with having no time, I'm guessing, to just go out and do person things.
Nah, but you see, he's been reading.
Ah, okay.
Kinds of manga.
He's been reading manga.
Get to,
Remember, kids, if you want to become less socially awkward, read manga.
But there have been multiple times where he's directly quoted some pickup line from JoJo manga of his sisters. His younger sister showed him and gotten.
He bases his entire dating strategy around the world God only knows.
And a bunch of girls to just go.
What? You got a bunch of girls to squee?
Yes.
Based on shoujo manga.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, I honestly just stumbled on it today. And it's just, I'm surprised I didn't see it before.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Yep, Masamune-kun no Revenge.
Okay, so moving on to your final series with the impossible to pronounce title.
Well, it's impossible to pronounce, it's just long.
Difficult to pronounce for you.
Alright, let's give this a shit. The sixth manga is very new and honestly only chosen because it's the longest name I've ever seen for a series ever. But it's called, and get ready for this, Onicha no Goto Gasuki Suite Nyanyan Shitai Burakon Imoto Jakedo Sunao Ni Naranai no.
I fucking hate you.
I feel like if your connection wasn't choppy, I might have understood some of that.
I got brother and some cat noises.
Brother, sister, some cat noises right in the middle. That becomes understandable later.
Are cats a big theme in the series?
Well, at least in the one chapter that's been released.
Okay. So tell us about brother-sister cat noises.
Okay, that's what we'll call it from now on. Brother-sister cat noises. For all intents and purposes, an average high school girl. But she has a fairly severe brother complex.
Okay, of course.
Except that one of the bigger problems is that she's never able to, discuss these kinds of the subject matter with him, because whenever he's in the same room as her, it always ends up that she beats the living crap out of him. Or some misunderstanding or something.
Okay, so this is one of those kind of series.
So, one day, her brother brings home just a stray cat. Never really stated that it's a stray, but you find out later on that, yeah, it's probably a stray. But he brings a stray cat into the house. And he doesn't knock, so she punches him in the face and he leaves. The cat kind of hangs out in the room and whatnot. And what was interrupted was a Ouija board session. I don't know who she'd be contacting for advice or anything, but, you know, whatever. It's not really explained in depth. But since the Ouija set, the seance, was interrupted, the spirits get angry and transfer her body into the cats. Her bind into the cats, rather.
Okay.
And so she goes to sleep and he wakes up as a cat. And there are some kind of etchy representations of her brother petting the cat.
Okay.
Her interpretation of it. There's a lot of disclaimers that this is an interpretation.
So what's about her body? Like, is the cat in there now?
No, she's just sort of comatose. Oh.
Okay.
The end of the chapter, spoiler alert, she goes back into the body. They haven't really fleshed out a sequence of events sort of happen, but I expect things will repeat.
Okay.
Fairly regular basis. It was just honestly such a out there series. I was like, okay, A, the title is like two just words, and this is just way too weird to not talk about.
Okay.
Let's give it some pieces.
Your connection's real choppy. I have no idea what the hell you're saying.
I have stopped. There are sometimes you just kind of blah. I can't really say much else. It's like, it's really, really weird.
Okay, then.
So yeah, check it out. Check out Brother Sister Cat Noise.
We'll put the real name of the series in like the comments or something.
Yada yada yada. So people can also go and look at this weird piece of literature.
Uh huh.
But yeah, that's about it. That's exactly it.
Okay then. So that's what we're reading then and watching. On to news. So we only got 2 pieces of news this week. So, first up, the folks who run ConG, which is Guelph's annual anime and nerd fandom convention, has been announced that it's ending in 2014. So that'll be ConG season 6. It'll be the last con before the thing goes on hiatus or changes its frequency to either to a semi-annual type thing. This is happening because this con has a bunch of stuff happening that the staff moving away, having probably no numbers of staff, and well, basically a lot of the staff problems.
Yeah, basically they're getting busy.
Yeah, life is happening to them.
They're tired of voice actors hitting on them.
And, you know, wouldn't we all be like that?
Although, honestly, when it's the voice of Yakko.
Yeah. You let him hit on you. Just have him sing the Nations of the World and just swoon. So, yeah, Kanji Season 6 happening in 2014 will be the last annual Kanji.
I'll be there with a sad face because I'll only have been able to go to two of them.
Yeah. So, moving on to our final piece of news. Viz Media is releasing some Pokemon manga over here. So, first up is a movie tie-in manga called Pokemon the Movie, Kyurem vs. the Sword of Justice. And that'll be released on March 5th for about $10. Next up is Pokemon Adventures Black and White. That's set for release on July 2nd, and it'll have a focus on two trainers. One named Black, who is a trainer who has his eyes set the Pokemon League. And White, a trainer who wants to make her Tepig a shining star in the world of Pokemon performances. So, yeah.
Wow, those both seem so interesting. I'm going to rush right out and buy those.
Yeah. No price for that one.
Yeah. The other Pokemon Adventure manga actually isn't all that bad.
Yeah.
It gets pretty fucking dark and
Yes, then the final one that was announced is a two-volume release titled Pokemon Adventures Heart Gold and Soul Silver. It's being marketed as a thriller series, which is, yeah. And Team Rocket will be in it.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. It's probably not going to be Jesse James and Meowth, but whatever. So, that's it for this week, I guess. Yeah, not a lot happened this week in terms of anime, manga news that we cover.
Yeah.
So, thank you all for joining us on this high octane thrill ride of a podcast that was the anime podcast. It's Anime 37. He was really fat.
Good choice.
Yeah. So Sandy, this goes up. We'll have the Anime Club up for Eureka 7. I'm just going to apologize ahead of time. Then, this week on the website, we're going to be having the commentary track for Resident Evil, part of Resident Evil Month for March, going up on Friday. Then, on Saturday, we're going to be having a special Double Tap commentary track, where we're going to be finishing off the Twilight series, watching Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, the worst film of 2012, if the Razzies aren't to be believed.
Because it swept the Razzies.
Oh yeah, it was nominated for 11 awards and won 7 of them. Yeah, so then on Sunday we're going to be having Anything Cast Live. Please join us at allgames.com/chat. We'd love to hear from you guys about what you think about what we're doing on the site and everything. Let us know if you want us to continue the Anime Club. Then we're going to be having comics next Wednesday, movies next Friday, as well as another commentary track as part of Resident Evil Month for Resident Evil Apocalypse. And be sure to check back to the site every day for news, maybe a review or two, and videos and stuff for games and everything, if you're into that. So anyway, until all that stuff, though, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wan.
I'm Bobby Wan.
We'll see you guys next time.